Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinet.
What is Revival by Horatius Bonner, 1808 through 1889? What is a revival? Strictly speaking, it is the restoration of life that has been lost, and in this sense, it applies only to the Church of God. But used in the more common acceptation, it is the turning of multitudes to God. As conversion is the turning of a soul to God, so a revival is a repetition of this same spiritual process in the case of thousands. It is conversion upon a large scale. It is what occurred under the apostles at Pentecost, when 3,000 were converted under one sermon. It is what took place at Corinth, Thessalonica, and Ephesus, when under the preaching of the apostles, multitudes believed and turned to the Lord. This is what we mean by a revival. As far as it is corresponding with these spiritual senses, as far as it is right, we defend it. As far as it departs from scriptural precedent or is inconsistent with scriptural rule, we do not defend it. Let the opponents of revivals meet us here. We are willing to apply this test, are they? It is an equitable and satisfactory one. They need not fear it if it is truth they seek. We can suppose the existence of honest objections to revivals. If they produce immorality, sow sedition, foster licentiousness, or are the hotbeds of hypocrisy, they are worthy of condemnation. But are they such? Have they brought forth these fruits of evil? Have they made men bad citizens, bad masters, bad parents, bad children? Have they turned sober men into drunkards, chaste men into lewd, peaceable men into riotous, reverential men into blasphemers, loyal men into seditious? Are they crowding or are they thinning our jails? Are they filling or emptying our bars? Are they exciting or are they allaying party spirit? Are they increasing or are they diminishing the calendar of crimes and criminals? Let us answer these questions by citing a few statements. Party spirit has ceased wherever the revival has come, and enemies have embraced each other so that a popish judge bears testimony to the wonderful improvement in this respect in his own vicinity. The drunken assemblages at weddings and funerals have not only ceased, but have also been transformed into meetings for praise and prayer. And the brutal scenes of brawling and bloodshed on such occasions are no longer heard of. Thousands of drunkards have become sober. Thousands of blasphemers have turned from their profanity. The whole moral aspect of families, villages, and towns has been altered for the better. Hundreds of Romanists have turned from their superstition. Hundreds of Unitarians have owned the Lord Jesus as God. Poor, profligate females have turned from their evil courses. Bars have been shut up and inroads made among those whom we are accustomed to call the masses, such as has not been made by any efforts heretofore. It would thus appear that the results of the Irish revivals have been good and not evil. Good religiously, morally, socially. Their tendencies are all in the right direction. So that even admitting all that has been said against them and making full allowance for what are called extravagances, nay, assuming that there has been a mixture of hypocrisy and deception in some cases, a very large balance remains in their favor. They have diminished crime. They have turned drunkenness into sobriety, dishonesty into honesty, brawling into good neighborhoods, hatred into love. Of bad citizens, they have made good ones. Of bad husbands and wives, they have made good ones. Of bad masters, good ones. Of bad parents, good ones. Of bad children, good ones. And of mere formalists in religion, they have made devout and fervent worshipers. These are the results of what has taken place. By their fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. Are these the works of Satan? Are these things from beneath or from above? Are they earthly or heavenly? If they be Satan's doings, then is his kingdom divided, and he is fighting against himself. Matthew 12, verse 25. It is to be noticed, too, that the really religious men who have visited the scenes are all convinced that the work is of God. Their enemies are among the irreligious and profane. The popish priests are against them. The barkeepers are against them. The Unitarians are against them. The lovers of pleasure are against them. Yet these are the things that tell so strongly in their favor. Manifestly, the work is of God, not of man or of Satan. God has risen up to do a work in our day worthy of himself, a glorious work in which human instruments are set aside and the Holy Spirit is the great and indisputable worker. A work like this will not be easily overthrown. It will not be put down by scoffing, nor injured by misrepresentation, nor arrested by the hostility either of formal Protestants or of angry Romanists. Fling your handfuls of sand into the torrent, ye enemies of Christ. Will these arrest its victorious rush? Cast up embankments on the Nile from Thebes to Alexandria. Will these hinder its overflow? Bring your mighty engines to bear upon this divine conflagration that is now blazing through Ulster. Will you quench one spark? Send for your Balaams, your lying prophets of the press, ye Balaks of Moab. Place them upon every green mountain from Donegal to Downpatrick and say to them, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Numbers 23, verse 7. What can the answer be but, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied?